All right, Alexander, we have been documenting the last couple of days what has been going on with the Russia Gate, which is now Obama Gate scandal, and everything is coming out now. I mean, just a tidal wave of information as to how sinister the Obama White House, the FBI, the CIA, the James Clappers, the Comeys, the Brennans, the Susan Rices, and the Barack Obamas, not to mention Hillary Clinton, of course, it goes without saying. How sinister their intentions were with regard to President Trump, candidate Trump, and then President Trump. And a lot of stuff is now coming to light, especially with regards to the revelations of that January 5th, 2017 meeting. And a lot of this stuff is coming to light because we have a lot of the transcripts, the under oath transcripts of some 53 people who were involved in the Russia Gate fiasco. And I take you to an article via Zero Hedge, which has the title Flashback: Obama Ordered Comey to Conceal FBI Activities Right Before Trump Took Office. And I refer to this article because they give a really good synopsis as to how the January 5th, 2017 meeting is directly related to what we feel is probably the last leg of this table that needs to be cut out from under the Russiagate scandal, and that is the George Papadopoulos, Joseph Masoud narrative. And let me read you from that article, and you can put everything into context. The January 5, 2017 meeting, also attended by former National Security Advisor Susan Rice, has taken on a new significance in light of revelations of blatant misconduct by the FBI and the fact that the agency decided not to brief then candidate Trump, that a friendly foreign government, Australia, advised them that Russia had offered a member of his campaign dirt on Hillary Clinton. The rumored dirt was in fact told to Trump campaign aide George Papadopoulos by Joseph Mifsud, a shadow Maltese professor and self-described member of the Clinton Foundation. Papadopoulos then told Australian diplomat Alexander Downer, who told Aussie intelligence, which tipped off the FBI, which then launched Operation Crossfire Hurricane. Papadopoulos was then surveilled by FBI spy Stefan Halper and his honeypot assistant, who went by the name Azra Turk. While in 2017, Papadopoulos claims a spy handed him $10,000 in what he says goes all the way back to the DOJ under the previous FBI under Comey and even the Mueller team. Now, Alexander, the part about Mifsud, real quick, that he is part of the Clinton Foundation, comes from the Gateway Pundit, which has a title called This Changes Everything. Testimony reveals deep state spy Joseph Mifsud is member of the Clinton Foundation. Once again, you get into the interview transcripts that have been released, and Papadopoulos' wife made the claim that Mifsud told her many times on many occasions that he is also the member of the Clinton Foundation. Quote, Miss Mangiante, Papadopoulos' wife, said he is also the member of the Clinton Foundation. Mifsud was boasting about his connection to the Clinton Foundation. Alexander, I gave you a lot of stuff to work with. Take your time and take us through this step by step.
I'm glad you said that this is the last leg of this tottering structure, which is going to start to crumble. But let's go back first to that 5th of January 2017 meeting. Now, remember, what's going to happen is on the following day, the same people who are attending this meeting on the 5th of January with Obama and Susan Rice and Biden is also there, the others are all going to meet Donald Trump. So I don't think there's any doubt at all that part of the purpose of this meeting is to plan what is going to be said to Donald Trump on the following day. Most inappropriate, by the way, that that was happening. Completely wrong that Obama, Susan Rice, Biden were telling people like Comey, Clapper, Brennan what Trump should be told on the following day. But that's clearly what the purpose of that meeting in part was. So Let's consider. Trump is going to be told some things. He's going to be told about the Steele dossier, which by this point, the FBI have heaps of information that it almost certainly isn't true. I mean, you know, they're interviewing all kinds of people. We know interviews are going on at the very same time throughout January. They're meeting the primary source, the subsource, all those people. They know the Steele dossier is nonsense. Nonetheless, Trump is going to be told about that. He's not going to be told about Flynn. He's not going to be told that Flynn is the subject of investigation and that he's talking to the Russian ambassador or any of that kind of thing. He's not going to be told about any of that. Flynn, by the way, is always going to be in that room, but he's not going to be told about it either. And he's not going to be told about George Papadopoulos, who supposedly had this mysterious meeting in March of 2016 in a hotel in London, where he supposedly met, well, he did meet with Joseph Mifsud there, who supposedly told him that the Russians have all this dirt or all these emails of Hillary Clinton's. Donald Trump is not going to be told about that, even though that is supposed to have been the starting point of the whole Crossfire Hurricane investigation. We have been spun this story that what decided the FBI to open an investigation, a collusion investigation, a counter-espionage investigation, looking at collusion between Donald Trump's campaign and the Russians on the 31st of July 2016, was this information from Alexander Downer and the Australians that in March 2016, this meeting between Joseph Mifsud and George Papadopoulos had taken place, and the Joseph Mifsud had given this information about the Russians having all those emails of Clinton's in their possession to Papadopoulos. So that information, that critical information, is going to be withheld from Donald Trump. Why? Why? Why is Donald Trump not going to be told about this? Well, again, and I say this once more, it's because they are denying information, critically important information, from Donald Trump, who, as President of the United States, needs to know all about this, because he is the target of that investigation. It's the only possible explanation that there is a subsidiary thing. There must be another. I'm sure that there is another explanation. And this is my own view now. But one of the reasons they're holding back on all of this is because they know Michael Flynn is going to be in that room. They know that Michael Flynn is himself a trained intelligence operator. They know that Michael Flynn is going to start asking questions about Mifsud and Papadopoulos. And they don't want to have to answer those questions because they set up that whole meeting. That whole meeting in March 2016 was one which they set up themselves. So that's why they're withholding all information about it. Think about it. It makes absolute sense.
Can you repeat that again, Alexander? Because it's so hilarious. This is such a clown show. Yeah, repeat that again. Repeat that line again. This was a complete freaking setup.
Absolutely. It was a setup. They can't come along and tell. They're going to tell Donald Trump, well, you know, Papadopoulos, we've opened this investigation because Papadopoulos is getting all this information from a Russian agent. But of course, if they know that Mifsud is not a Russian agent, if they know that Mifsud is one of their own agents, you know, if Flynn asks them all of this, the whole thing collapses. So they don't dare say anything about it. They can't come along, in other words, and say to Trump and Flynn, this whole thing was set up. We set it all up.
Stephen Halper, they knew, was an agent.
Absolutely.
Mifsud, if that's even this guy's real name.
Yeah, about which I have serious doubts, by the way, but we'll come to that in a moment.
Is an agent, and they know it.
Yeah.
So why can't the U.S. president know what's going on here?
Well, because of course,
these people work for him.
Well, Andy, they do, but of course the point is he's the target.
He's the target. That's what I wanted you to say. He's the target.
He's the target. So of course they can't tell him. They can't tell him, oh, well, you know, Mr. President, you know, we're setting you up. This is what this is all about. That was what was going on. Now, as I said, coming to Mifsud, I mean,
Mifsud, if he's even a real, he's a person, real, but if he's even a real,
is it his actual name? Now, yeah. I've been trying, and it's not easy to try to research this mysterious man. And I have to say, it's, you go out and look for information about Joseph Mifsud, it's very thin. I mean, there's no information about his family. There's no, you know, we don't know whether, you know, brothers, sisters, parents, grandparents, you know, if you look at his Wikipedia entry, which is just, you know, just get citing that as an example, nothing about his family. Nobody from Malta is coming forward and saying, well, you know, well, you know, he's our brother, he's our sister, you know, he's our brother, you know, I'm his uncle, you know, I know all about Joseph, you know, he's perhaps somebody, you know, who gets involved in all kinds of things, but, you know, nothing like that. Nothing like that at all. Now, you know, we're both from Mediterranean countries. We know that, you know, in our parts of the world, Malta's no different. I've been to Malta, by the way. Malta's no different in this respect. People know each other. Families matter. People talk to each other. You know, you would have thought that if there was a huge amount of information about, if Mifsud was a real person, all sorts of people would be coming forward and talking about him. But there's nothing, there's absolutely nothing from Malta, really, about him at all. No obvious traceable family collections, no real family past, nothing. And the same is true, by the way, and even more strangely, of all these academic institutions he was involved in. Now, again, my wife is an academic. So, you know, if you know anything about academic institutions, I mean, they are very social places. I mean, academics who are scholars, I mean, one of the things academics do is they network. I mean, that's very much part of the life of the academic world. You meet each other, you exchange ideas, you go to conferences, you talk, you discuss papers. Who's coming forward and doing that with Mifsud? I mean, who are all these people in Italy, in Britain, who you would assume know him? Hardly anybody. Now, you know, and then, of course, we have the final and ultimate mystery about him, which is that he's vanished. He's disappeared without trace. We had a report a couple of months ago that Barr and Durham went to Rome and heard a tape recording of him, of his there. And but apparently they didn't meet him. Now, people don't just vanish. It doesn't happen like that. I mean, even when they're killed, I mean, there's usually some kind of evidence. I mean, even, you know, someone like Jimmy Hoffa, I mean, there's, you know, he dies in a, you know, there's something. Now, I can't help but think that the fact that he's vanished so completely is a sign that perhaps Joseph Mifsud never really existed, and that this isn't a person. It's an identity, and the person who George Papadopoulos met, who was undoubtedly an actual person, was using an identity. Now, I mean, I may be wrong. This is very speculative. If Joseph Mifsud is listening to this, or if people know about more Joseph Mifsud, if somebody who has had some dealings with this man can come forward, please let us hear from you. But at the moment, I am very sceptical. And of course, by the way, I should add that if some of my guesses about this are right, and if it is an identity rather than an actual person, then bear in mind some of the things in his past that are attributed to Joseph Mifsud might not have happened at all, or might have been done by other people also using that identity, because intelligence agencies can actually, you know, an identity can be used by different agents. So just bear that also in mind. But all right, this is speculation. And I'm not sure about this. It's just, as I said, I have doubts. I've had these doubts for a while. But about the fact that this meeting was a setup, this important meeting which happened in March 2016 between Papadopoulos and this man who was being introduced to him and who he knew as Professor Joseph Mifsud, that this was staged, of that I have essentially no doubt. And the fact that Donald Trump was not briefed about it, despite this meeting having been supposedly the starting point of the whole Russiagate investigation, that makes me even more sure that this meeting was staged. In other words, Mifsud was not an agent at all of the Russians. He was an agent of someone else. And the fact that he was gossiping about all his connections with the Clintons points in a certain direction.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's end this video by focusing a little bit on Papadopoulos and the fact that they've been, it seems the FBI, the CIA, the deep state, Australian intelligence, UK intelligence, and it seems Israeli intelligence had been targeting Papadopoulos for quite a while. And it goes back to that last sentence from that Zero Hedge article, which said that he was given $10,000 by some mysterious agent. And Papadopoulos, we did a video on this, actually. It was Papadopoulos's interview with Mark Stein. Mark Stein was interviewing Papadopoulos, actually, about his new book. And Papadopoulos was very clever as to how he handled that situation, because he was on holiday with his then girlfriend, now his wife, in Greece. And he's approached by some guy who says, come to Israel. We want to do some consulting venture with you. He goes to Israel, just a short flight away, goes to Israel, gets handed $10,000 in cash to do some sort of business consulting venture. And instead of Papadopoulos taking that money and starting to spending or doing God knows what, he gets back on a plane, goes to Greece, gives it to his lawyer, and locks it up.
Yes.
And the question was, why did you get that money? What was the reason for it? And why did you go to the lawyer? And Papadopoulos said, and I'm paraphrasing, he was like, they said they wanted to do some business. I was suspicious about what the hell was going on. And I went straight to my lawyer because, you know, he had that gut instinct. He had that feeling in his gut where it looks like they're trying to set me up, some sort of trap. And then, of course, you know, all of this stuff with Russiagate and with Mueller and you know, all of it just starts to move forward. So I think they were targeting Papadopoulos for quite a while, and they were trying to find different ways to get him to roll over or to get him to implicate Trump in the Trump campaign. They were targeting him from the get-go.
Absolutely, of course they were. And can I just say, this business with the money, the $10,000 in cash, I think is an extraordinarily important one, because clearly he was being set up by someone. And the fact that this happened contemporaneously, in other words, that Papadopoulos acted the way he did, that he rushed immediately to his lawyer with his money and put it in a safe, shows that he understood this. He's not talking from hindsight. He's not reconstructing. He was aware at the time that somebody was trying to set him up. So if somebody was trying to set him up, and you have a meeting in which it looks as if he was being set up, I'm referring to the meeting between Mifsud and Papadopoulos, then it looks as if that meeting must have been a setup. If something looks bad, then it probably is bad. If it looks like a setup and everything that's going around it shows that a setup is being hatched, then that which looks like a setup almost certainly is a setup. I mean, that's logic, that's inference, that's not proof, but that's what it seems to me. Again, if you're an investigator, it's a good point, I think, to start asking questions.
Yeah, it seems to me that they were trying to pick off these entry-level, you know, Trump consultants and campaigners and people that were working with the Trump campaign and then the White House. But these entry-level guys like Carter Page and Papadopoulos are guys that had, you know, said they were associated with the Trump campaign, maybe for professional reasons, in order to boost up their resume, whatever that may be. But it seems that the FBI, the CIA, the deep state, all these agencies we're kind of targeting these guys in a way to, you know, branch it out to hit Trump. I mean, that seems that's the MO.
Oh, well, absolutely. Can I just say something? I mean, you know, what did they say in Watergate? Follow the money. I mean, this is exactly right. And where did that money come from? And whose money was it ultimately? Was it the FBI's? Was it the Hillary Clinton campaigns? I'm just asking. I mean, I don't know, but that's always a good place to start an investigation. So if I was an investigator, the very first thing I would do if I was really looking into what was going on with Papadopoulos, as important as tracking down Mifsud himself or the person who was calling himself Mifsud, I would get on a plane to Israel. I would find all those people that Papadopoulos was talking to. I would interview them. I would ask them about that money, and I would try and find out where that money came from, because that seems to me to be a very important thread in this story, and to see where it leads. And that is exactly, I think, what was going on. I think you described it precisely. They were homing around looking for people that they could pin things on. They were carrying out surveillance on Carter Page. They were doing all sorts of things, probably with other people that we don't know about yet. And we know that they had informers all over the Trump campaign. And obviously, Papadopoulos was one of them. And we know that he wasn't, as well as all of this going on, because Horowitz has confirmed this, we know that there were people who he was meeting who were actually FBI informers, not helper, not this as a Turk woman, other people. And they were trying to sort of wangle him into making, you know, admissions about Russian involvement with the Trump campaign. And he was consistently denying it. So that strongly points to me as if he was clearly being set up. He was clearly being provoked. All kinds of things were going on. And in fact, there is a huge amount of material here to actually go through and get to the bottom of, and which could lead to all kinds of very, very interesting people. Can I just say something else, of course, about Papadopoulos? He deserves a pardon, and that should be granted at once. There's no merit now, I think, in waiting for him to be exonerated by the court, because that would take too long. We have enough now to know that things were really, really bad. So let's just pardon him. Let's get proper questions asked. Let's get to the bottom of what really happened with him. And as you say, I've engaged in some speculations about Mifsud. I accept they are speculations. I don't know for a fact that Mifsud is an identity rather than an individual. But let's get to the bottom of what actually happened. Let's find out what really happened at that meeting in March, who that person that Papadopoulos met really is, and let's find out about all of these other things that were going on at the same time, and who was putting up the money, who was arranging all these meetings, because he was meeting all kinds of strange people, and this is one of the other things that was making Papadopoulos so suspicious. Who was behind all of this? Who was orchestrating it all? Was it the FBI? Was it someone else? Was it British intelligence? Was it the Hillary Clinton campaign? Was it the DNC? Was it all of them?
Yeah, it's such a big operation. This is such a big operation. I can't get my head around it.
Yes, I know.
To take out the U.S. president. I mean, they put the full power of the intelligence agencies, the Clinton campaign, the Obama White House, all of it was thrust towards getting Trump out of office. I mean, what a massive operation this was. US, UK, Australia, Italy, Ukraine. I mean, all these intelligence agencies working together, all these mm-hmm. spies in all these different countries, people like Alexander Downer. What a massive operation this was.
Absolutely. Bearing in mind, can I just add one point? Because Horowitz says that there is no information in the FBI papers that Joseph Mifsud is, in fact, an FBI informer. And he makes it clear this is just, you know, on the papers. He might have been an informer for some other intelligence agency of the United States. But of course, if Mifsud is not his actual name, if it's an identity, Then, of course, you might not necessarily find the name, an informer by the name of Joseph Mifsud in the FBI files. If such a person with that name, you know, a person called Joseph Mifsud was not a real person, that wasn't a real, that name isn't the name of a real person at all.
He could be an informer, though, for the UK.
Well, he could be an
MI6
informer
for Australian intelligence. I mean, he could be an informer.
He could have been an informer for many people, but you see, he might have been Tom Smith, informer for the FBI, and that might appear in the FBI papers, but that wouldn't have been the name he was using. He might have been using a completely different name. You see, this is the wilderness of mirrors, which as the intelligence world was once described. It's very difficult to know exactly what's going on, because remember, these are people who work in the world of deception and disinformation. But a good investigator, and the United States is the best, it does, can get to the bottom of it. So let's unleash these people. Let's get them out there asking all the right questions, and they will get the answers, and we will know.
Let's hope we do. Let's hope we find out.
No.
All right. Alexander McCurse, Editor-in-Chief of the Durand. Thank you very much, guys. If you like this video, click on that subscribe button, smash that like, and share this channel with everybody you know. That really helps us out a lot when you share this channel. Also donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Your donation also helps us out a whole lot. And also go to SoundCloud to get an audio copy of this video. And iTunes as well, where we also post this video in podcast format. And of course, go to the Durand shop, pick up some magic mugs and some t-shirts, polo shirts, and all kinds of good things. Magic mugs will help you untangle this Obamagate web that has been weaved. And of course, we have our friends at the Patriotic Legacy, who have the Patriot Beacon, and they have version 3 out now in all kinds of different colors. Alexander, you have the black color right there that you're holding up, and it is the best flashlight or torch you can buy in the market today, Alexander.
Absolutely. And of course, what it does is it enables you to search out and find things, which is what we do on the Durand. It's the torch that enables you to see, which is, of course, what we do. We search out the truth, just as with the Patriotic Legacy, the Patriot Beacon, you can also do. It is the best torch or flashlight. That's what our we call them torches in Britain. I mean, I think in America, you prefer flashlight. It's the best in the world. I say that without any hesitation or qualification. It is absolutely something I have all the best now in my car whenever I drive, including during the day, by the way, because it's actually very useful during the day as well as in the dark and at night. But firstly, can I just say it's an amazing torch or light. It has a beautiful, incredibly strong light that you can see. It can also, you can dim it. If you have to dim it, if you're, you know, in a sort of confined place or there's many people around, or if you are on a, you know, if you're on the road or one of these sort of motorways, especially the European motorways can be very congested and you want to indicate to people where you are, you can do a flash and that's actually quite really effective. And it is extraordinarily well made. It's very, very strong. So if you need the confidence that comes from a really high quality item, you have it here. And you can use it, you know, in other, during the day also. It's got a compass, so if you get lost, as I sometimes do, I'm very bad sense of direction. If you get lost, either in your car, despite your sat navs can fail. This never does, because as I did, it's got its compass there, and it will always help you find your bearings. I often get lost in the parks and the woods when I'm walking my dogs also. So this helps me with that too. And I said that it's good for having in the day. Can I also say it's solar powered? So you don't have to worry about batteries, which is an important thing because, you know, I'm always forgetting to carry batteries with me. So if things run out, You can be without your torch, but with this one, that's not a problem because it's solar powered. Just keep it in the light and it will recharge. But as well as the compass, if you have an accident at any time, you can have it during the day. Well, it's an enormously useful accessory. You can break your windscreen, you can cut yourself out of your seatbelt, you can do amazing things. You can also, by the way, recharge your mobile phone, your smartphone, and your laptop and your tablet, because it's got a port there. And the other great thing that it does, it's got a magnet, so you can stick it in your car on a metal surface and it will be safe there and immediately to hand also. It is the best torch you can possibly have. I cannot recommend it too strongly. I would not feel comfortable driving my car without it now, and I would not feel comfortable walking at night with my dogs if I didn't have it with me. I'm going to mention one very last thing that it does, but very, very quickly and very briefly. It's also got an alarm, but I'm going to switch it off because it attracts my dogs. My dogs, when I lose them, all I have to do is put on that alarm and they come scampering. But so it's enormously useful to me for that purpose, but you can think of how many other purposes it can be useful for. And by the way, you don't have to worry about dropping it because it comes, as you can see, with a sleeve that you can hold it onto. So, patriotic beacon from our friends at Patriotic Legacy, the best torch or flashlight in the world. It's made in the United States, but they will supply it worldwide. So please come along and be the proud owner of one. And of course, be the proud owner of all the things that we sell too, our own amazing magic mugs, the best mugs. Coffee and tea and hot chocolate and beer and champagne mugs you can find anywhere. Beautifully made, as I've pointed out many times. This one comes with the picture of Sergei Lavrov, who is the president, the foreign minister of Russia. In my opinion, the best diplomat in the world. But you can find lots of others, lots of other mugs with amazing emblems and coats of arms. Also, all of them in our shop. And we don't just have amazing magic mugs, we have the best t-shirts in the world, like the one I'm wearing now, 100% cotton with the double-headed eagle of the Durand there. We've got them short-sleeved and long-sleeved. We've got V-neck shirts, and we have the most amazing polo shirts, which are a joy to wear and incredibly stylish. And you will feel so comfortable and so well in one if you go to a social event, or you are on, you know, if you're on doing the après-ski, or you're on the beach, or wherever. They are the best polo shirts you can find anywhere. And we don't just have shirts and mugs, we also have hats, hoodies, and stickers, and we have amazing ebooks on subjects like Russiagate, that incredibly intricate topic that we've been discussing on this program. And we've also got Ukrainegate and Brexit, books on Brexit, Ukrainegate, on Epstein, and even on the oil crisis, which is, you know, another incredible tangled web, which we set out to explain. So, all of these things in our shop. The Patriot Beacon, you can find it from us too. Alex will tell you how. Be the proud owner of these things. Support the Durand, and Alex will now tell you.
You can find a link for the Patriot Beacon in the description box down below. Use the code DURAND20 to get a 20% discount as well. The link is in the description box down below. And remember, the Patriot Beacon ships internationally, all over the world. So, Durand 20, 20% off the Patriot Beacon from our friends at Patriotic Legacy. And of course, the durandshop.com. You will find the link for the Durand shop as well in the description box down below. Alexander Mercurius, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.